afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Today.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So am I, actually. I really am good to be with you today. Kind of a surprise to be with you, but I'm here.
Yes. Dave Allen is gone today. He'll be back on Thursday. So I will be gone tomorrow. So Butch is, he's on his own tomorrow.
Boy. Folks, tune in. We're going to have fun tomorrow.
I'm scared.
I'm going to do the whole program of jokes tomorrow. We're going to have a good time.
That'd be all right with me. Be okay.
Be kind of fun
for a change. Let's go ahead and see what gold did today. You know, if you're buying, it's actually coming back a little bit. We had a low of 1748. Now we're looking at 1761, down less than $10. Silver was down 7 pennies at 2271. Platinum was down 8 at 966. Palladium was up 6 at 1,992. The USDX today was stronger by 0.18 at 94.00. Crude oil was up, 160 at 79.21. And the paper markets today, the Dow rallied 300 points, 311, 34,314. The S&P was up 45 at 43.45. NASDAQ was up 178 at 14,433. Europe was probably stronger across the board. And Asia, Nikkei was lower by a little over 2%. Bonds today, the 10-year yield, 1.53%. So that was up pretty good, up with the stronger dollar. So, you know, there's so much going on, but yet it's all the same. If you get my drift, Butch.
I certainly do. And, but there is a lot going on.
There is a lot going on.
And some of the issues are really heating up, too.
Yes, and everybody's sort of waiting for the jobs report come Friday. Here was something kind of interesting. Let's see. I don't know. I just saw Soros's name. Soros Fund Management, Elliott Management. They raised concerns about the outlook for Chinese stocks that are traded in New York and in Asia. And their comments came weeks after a $59 billion investment firm, Marshall Wace, said some of those businesses have become uninvestable. We are not putting money into China right now. And so, you know what, it's everybody sees the writing on the wall. And, you know, we can dislike Soros as much as you want, but we know how they manipulate the markets, and we know where their money goes. So it's, But, you know, Butch, you used to go to jail for inside trading, and now they just do it so freely, it just doesn't matter anymore. Anybody can do it. Poor old Martha Stewart went to jail. For what little she did. And, and look what they get away with today. So it's really kind of interesting. I don't know if you have anything in particular you wanted to start the program out with.
Well, I do want to share
a
share
few
this
things,
one.
But
I'm going to break a story here in your program, and this concerns Todd. Todd, if you're listening, better pay attention. This concerns men in Pennsylvania. And I'm not, folks. This is so absurd, so outlandish. You probably think I'm making it up, but I'm not. You can find this on for yourself online. House of Representatives Session 2021 through 2022 Regular Session Memorandum. This is from Representative Christopher M. Rabb. I'm going to read part of it, not all of it. For far too long, the public debate around abortion, contraception, and related reproductive matters has thrust government into the center of restrictions on the bodily autonomy of women and girls. Rarely is there a meaningful dialogue about public policy that focuses on the personal responsibility of cisgender men in this sphere. The rights of cisgender men have always been paramount in our society, with little focus on their responsibility as inseminators to change their behaviors for the good of their partners, families, and society at large. As we head towards climax and the heated discourse around this delicate matter, we should come together to address it with surgical precision. Oh, I don't like that word. I'll tell you why. Surgical precision. Ouch. We must also commit to mending the social fabric being sliced up by bitter acrimony. In order to improve public health outcomes and release sweet justice into our households and bedrooms, we must wrap our love of individual liberty in the moral imperative of a greater personal responsibility and acknowledgement of men's essential role in procreation. Therefore, I'll be introducing legislation that will require all inseminators to undergo vasectomies within 6 weeks from having their third child or their 40th birthday, whichever comes first. Oh, boy. Further, this legislation will allow Pennsylvanians to take civil action for unwanted pregnancies against inseminators who wrongfully conceive a child with them. Melody Cedarstrom, did you ever think you'd see something like this brought up in a legislative forum anywhere? But it's in Pennsylvania. Anybody above 40 in Pennsylvania could be in danger of having to have a vasectomy. Or if you already sired three children, you're going to have a vasectomy if this passes. Is this absolutely beyond the pale? Well, what do you think?
Well, you know, it something like that won't, I doubt, would ever get into law. However,
but that's not the point. The point is
That's where I'm going. I mean, something like that will never get passed into law. But however, just the idea, just the thought, just the mumbling of such, it truly is incredible. What planet are we living on? What are these and who are these people?
One, it was just shared with you in Eastern New York State. Some hospitals won't let an unvaccinated family, parents take their newly born children home. Now in Pennsylvania, they want to neuter men. Folks, this is too wild for me to make up. And as Melody said, it probably will just not go anywhere this time. But what will happen next year or the next year after that? And anyone who's idiotic enough to bring something like this up should be kicked out of the house, literally drummed out of the house, for being so arrogantly stupid. I did an article one time entitled, in one of my books, entitled, Arrogant Ignorance. I mean, the only thing worse than an ignorant person is someone's arrogant about it. Don't want to learn anything. This is what we're seeing right here. But I had to share that. I know it's not to do with finances, but it shows the state of a country when a legislature in a state house would have the insanity to bring something like this up. How do you add anything to that? You go ahead.
Oh, you want me to add something to it after you just said, how do you add anything to that?
Well, you do what you got to do, that what you want.
Okay. But, I just pretty much said it. It's just, you know, it's just, what planet are we on?
This isn't the country I grew up in, Melody. This is not the America I knew when I grew up.
No.
Not even close.
No.
But you go in there. I know you have some news you want to share. Go ahead.
Well, you know, yesterday they had that big, outage at Facebook. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people don't really care. But on the other hand, you really have to look to see, you know, really. I mean, here you have, you know, here, if you have enough people that rely on just one or two tech giants, I mean, think of how vulnerable, basically, society is. I mean, with the internet, and there's an article out here, it's out of the Jerusalem Post, but it's really true. They talk about the internet age and the social media's dominance of how we get our information. And look what happened when you had Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp crashed worldwide. There's issues today, I've been told. You know, you talk about the billions who rely on these platforms, not just for their little social get-togethers, but for services. and you know, some communications with businesses, coordinating meetings, and it might seem like a small part in our lives, but when you really look at it, the globalness of it, and you get a couple of these shut down, and again, then we're going to extend it to everything else on the internet. To me, yesterday was probably a test. Look how, I mean, you just can't tell me that because there was a little internal error that it shut down Facebook globally. Come on. Come on. You know, they got sectors or, you know, zones and everything else to prevent that from happening. So it had to be a pretty big deal for it to be shut down globally. And everybody just thinks, oh, well, it's just Facebook. What's the big deal? Well, look at the big picture. And, you know, it's, I mean, that's the edge that we live on. That's how easy these things could just disappear. And, you know, you look at cyber attacks that have targeted critical infrastructure here in the United and around the world. But I don't know, Butch. It's there's something there in something there in Denmark that stinks, and it's you know, and again, I don't believe it was just human error, because you just don't shut down a system like Facebook and all the others globally at once.
Not with one glitch. That's virtually impossible.
Virtually impossible. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm old fashioned, and I know people told me many times when I used to send faxes in for orders I did on a company I worked for. Even though I sent a fax and printed it off, it was sent. I'd always call the company to confirm they got the fax, because sometimes they didn't get it even though it said it did. When I text somebody, a lot of times I trust the text so well, but sometimes I'll call, double check, because I've sent text before and something important that they never got it. So I know that I'm old fashioned. I don't trust internet for anything, to tell you the truth. I don't trust it to be delivered, or delivered like I sent it. I don't trust it to be, especially if it's private information. So, folks, I know this is rough for those who depend on Facebook and other social media, but I think it was a sorry day these things were invented. People forgot mm-hmm. how to make phone calls, how to write letters. That's all been forgotten. And if they're not on their phones trying to send text, they don't even talk to each other any longer. They just text. This is a loss of communication, real communication ability between people. And it's the mm-hmm. same thing with children and with adults. So yeah. you're starting to see a glitch, and it's going to get worse. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, most of it that comes through them and everything is all propaganda anyway. But anyway, now it was just something. So my question, what's next?
I agree.
The U.S. trade deficit widened to a record in August. Hey, consumers, you know, hey, we like that strong import. You know, we have a strong appetite for those imported goods. Pharmaceuticals, well, most of this country's on pills. Toys and clothing, I guess people are getting geared up for the holidays because we were told to do so. Yeah. Go out and get your holiday stuff today. It might not be here come December. And so we're going out there buying everything we can. Commerce Department on Tuesday said the trade gap in goods and services expanded to $73.3 billion in August from $70 billion in July. And the August deficit was slightly larger than the prior record of $73.2 billion in June. Imports rose 1.4% in August, also a record high. Reflecting higher shipments of consumer goods as well as industrial supplies by business customers. We have a lot of economies around the world that are at least trying to emerge from their lockdown status in relationship to COVID. Economists say the pace of the increase in imports is likely to slow in the coming months is U.S. consumer demand going to cool down? That's what they're expecting. So is that because there's no products to buy, or is it because the U.S. consumer is having a little bit of financial problems? So, again, it just shows Even with transportation industry representatives say congestion at ports and labor shortages. Of course, they're going to continue to blame this on everything. They're going to blame the chip shortage, low inventories, General Motors. Last week, its auto sales in the U.S. fell roughly 33% in the third quarter. So, you know, it's the U.S. trade deficit with China. That widened to $31.7 billion in August. Now, this is the largest gap since July of 2019. Exports declined. So, I don't know, just another concerning report about what we see here. And there's also reports, more discussions, more, I should say, chatter, more people reporting about the a 1929 crash in today's stock market. So people know, people see that things are, you know, not normal. This is not normal trading. And so, let's see. What else is there, Butch?
Well, there's a lot, Mildy.
I thought was interesting. This is out of the U.S. Sun. I don't know how credible that is, but it's kind of interesting. Caught my attention. Crypto Castle. Inside the world's first Bitcoin rehab clinic, where traders who have lost millions battle cryptocurrency addiction. I didn't think you could be addicted to cryptocurrencies.
I have never heard that before. Really?
Castle Craig, a private hospital in Peeblesshire near Edinburgh, has seen admissions for Bitcoin addicts increased by a factor of 10 in the past year. Now, this is in Scotland. The clinic is overseen by therapist Tony Marini, who claims to be the first physician to recognize that crypto trading is very similar to gambling. Well, so is the stock market. He says most addicts start by occasionally trading before frequent wins feed dopamine cravings and dreams of earning millions of dollars. That's the same as the stock market. However, such habit-forming behavior where users can lose large sums of money can lead to disaster, even suicide, he added. So if you say to somebody doing crypto, so you're occasionally gambling, they're going to go, no, I'm not. So take out the word gambling and say occasionally trading. One of Tony's patients began trading in cryptocurrencies while working in finance. I hear the music. We're out of time. We'll be right back right after these short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You know, just looking at some additional headlines before you take off, Butch. Mainstream media says we can expect to see a shortage of canned foods during the holiday season. Diapers are the latest pandemic shortage. And you know what? When we talk about, and I don't mean this to be funny at all, but I can remember it wasn't that long ago we were talking about Japan because of all their elderly, that they were selling more diapers to the elderly than they were for babies. The older people were buying more diapers. Could this be happening here in the States too? You're beginning to see more and more elderly buying diapers as they go into nursing homes and everything like that. Coca-Cola turns to bulk vessels normally used for grain and coal to transport manufacturing materials amid the shipping crisis. So they're going to great lengths to get this material transported. And so it's kind of interesting that they're using these carriers normally used for grain and coal and other raw materials. You know, these beverage, this Coca-Cola could not get the shipping containers and cargo space needed for transportation. Alan Smith, the procurement director of global logistics of Coca-Cola, wrote in on a post in LinkedIn, the company is currently using three of these ships to transport manufacturing materials. So they got creative, and they're doing what they need to do. You have other retailers like Costco, Target. They have chartered their own cargo ships, finding creative ways to combat these issues. But ports are still backed up, causing these mass delays because of the ongoing labor shortage, and which we've talked about this repeatedly on this program. But now you're seeing these companies doing what they need to do. And I'm surprised they're not calling government to help. So again, it just seems, and I've heard this is going to be a problem until the end of 2022 into 2023. That's a long time, Butch.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's supposed to just last a couple months. Remember that? It's going to be a short-term thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that we had talked about Venezuela last week, printing a billion-dollar note. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Folks, you're not going to believe this. Guess what? Yeah. Guess what we're thinking about printing? You probably saw this. A trillion-dollar platinum coin. They're discussing printing in this country. A trillion-dollar platinum coin. It's to be minted within hours of the Treasury Secretary's decision to do so. Philip Dale, former director of the United States Mint, tells Axios. Why it matters. Congressional solutions to the debt ceiling problem could take weeks to implement, especially if the reconciliation process is used and time is running out. In case of emergency, a trillion-dollar coin could be deployed to bridge any gap between the money running out and the debt ceiling being raised. How it works, the U.S. Mint, which Dale ran from 1994 to 2000, already produces a one-ounce platinum eagle and has no shortage of platinum blanks already in stock. Producing a $1 trillion eagle would require only the denomination to be changed. This can be quickly executed on the existing plaster mold of the platinum eagle, says Dale. Then automated process would transfer the new design to a plastic resin mold. A $1 trillion coin, Melody. Who would have thought that in ever that could happen, a $1 trillion coin? Did it even discuss it again?
You know what, Butch? Being only 39, I have a pretty good memory. This isn't the first time this story has been floated around.
Oh, this happened before?
It has happened before. The I same story, you know, I don't know if it was by the same person from the, you know, idea. I don't know if it's the same idea, but it was floated around. I can't tell you. I'm sure it was during, you know, the Great Recession of 2008. But my question is, okay, let's do, to me, number one, platinum isn't money.
No, it isn't.
They would have to change the Constitution, I would think.
What's
in
Constitution?
Order for it, huh?
What's the Constitution?
Oh, a darn piece of paper.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
By President Bush, who said that. But I would think that they would have to change that first, or can they do these types of changes under an emergency declaration? I mean, that's what they use now. Forget the, you know, the thing they scribble off on a daily basis, executive orders. Now everything is under emergency declaration. I would think it would destroy the dollar. I would think it would collapse the system. And I would think the price of platinum would shoot through the roof.
Yeah, we just have to maintain that.
And so would every other precious metal. So to me, it doesn't, I get the principle behind it, but I don't think logistically that it and I don't know why he would, you know, continue, you know, to, I'm assuming it's the same person as it was previously, but I don't know. Governments have done some stranger things. But
they sure have. They sure have.
But, you know, I was just trying to, because I think it's fascinating that, you know, this gains as much traction as it does. I don't think it gained this much traction the first time around. And I think it could have been, this could be the third time around, where they were thinking about introducing a coin and putting a $1 trillion thing on it. But wouldn't that increase inflation? Wouldn't that destroy the dollar?
You're asking a lot of questions here, Melody, that you have to ask them, and I'm going to tell you now that printing money doesn't cause inflation. They don't believe that. Even precious metals, that's not going to... I mean, money doesn't cause inflation, does it? I mean, this is what people really believe, so how would it cause inflation? You print $1 trillion, it doesn't make any difference. We know it does, but that's what everybody thinks it doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
And I've had people tell me, well, those are federal dollars. I mean, they actually told me that. Oh, this isn't from the state. These are federal dollars, so they don't count the same. I didn't want to say to the guy. I mean, anybody that in your body, well, how do you answer him? Yeah, so anyway. But back to some more, we'll say, down-to-earth things. This has happened before, folks. This isn't anything new. Smaller products, rising prices, shrinkflation hitting grocery store shelves. Now, this has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's come back in again at even greater percentages. Shrinking products and rising prices, from cereal to soap, paper towels to pretzels, you might have noticed you're not getting as much as you used to be at the grocery store. Consumer blogs pointed WCCO to products like oatmeal packets of 10 cut to 8 for some varieties, tuna cans from 7 to 5, and some family-sized cereals slimming down from 19.3 ounces to 18.8 ounces, all evidence of what's known as shrinkflation. Kim Sovell, a marketing professor at the University of St. Thomas, says companies have learned how consumers don't like to pay more. It's really a way to conceal higher prices, Sovell said. We're very deterred by price increases. We'll switch brands. What we focus on cost over quality, cost over quantity. Unless you have an odd box in your cabinet at home to compare, you may not notice. And that's true. They did this years ago, folks. It's nothing new. You don't get a 5-pound bag of sugar anymore. You get 4 something. You don't get a pound of bacon. You get 12 ounces. But they're doing it again. It is inflation. It's shrinkflation. Your money buys less, but you don't notice as much because the price is the same. That is pretty sneaky, Melody, but it works, doesn't it?
It does. It just goes to show. As long as you have money to buy it, it doesn't seem to matter. That's the point.
Well, my grocery bill's staying the same. I'm getting less food.
Grocery bill's
the same. You're saying, though, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the shipping. This is from the Health Ranger, a pretty good news site, actually. International Shipping Group issues red alert letter warning of imminent global supply chain collapse. This is the Biden and his staff's. This is the Biden staff's plan. Stop all production for more than a year. We've warned that an injured collapse of global supply lines was starting to unfold. The collapse is now accelerating at alarming speed, with even the International Chamber of Shipping issuing a red alert letter warning of a global transport systems collapse. That's only going to get worse. The culprit behind this collapse? Wrong-headed government lockdowns, vaccine mandates, and fake science testing of COVID via fraudulent PCR instruments that are all being used to eviscerate the worker base for transportation companies and shipping ports, ship crews, and airlines. Shortages in coal and natural gas are already leading to power grid failures and heating fuel scarcity. This dark winter is going to see widespread social unrest and human suffering on a scale none of us have ever witnessed. I hope he's wrong on that, but I don't think so. We've heard this before. Well, none of this affects me. Oh, okay. I myself have been waiting now for over 2 months for a furniture part to get to me, so actually furniture can't deliver one part because of the lockdowns. All these tons of ships with all their containers that cannot get to in the United States, this is all planned by the Biden camp. They want to stop the economy. They want to stop food supplies. If one person gets the virus along the chain, they shut down the buildings. They shut down plants. This COVID crap is used by only to kill American economy with no recovery possible. And Christmas, you can forget Christmas. It's going to be one long, hard winter with everything shut down. No trucks are moving. People are going to go hungry. Shelves are going to go empty as grocery stores. Will people freeze to death in Texas again this winter? The homeless will have to steal and do anything, even kill, to eat, which means there's going to be a lot of homeless shot dead in the streets, piled up. The collapse is going to happen, orchestrated by Biden and his godless White House staff running things for the New World Order. And folks, it's not all Biden, but that's what they're saying here. But nonetheless, this does paint a pretty bleak picture, a very bleak picture. And I don't see why it wouldn't be true. If you're waiting for things to turn around, my friends, you're looking down the wrong road. It's not going to happen. Our nation will never go back to normal again. Not like we call normal. And I think they're right, Melody. I think we're going to see things only increase this winter to the point that people actually are going to suffer this winter. And they have a hard time just keeping heat in the house and food on the table. That's why I kept the wooden coal furnace in the basement. I can always find wood to burn. This is called backup plans, folks. These are backup plans. A wood heating stove in your home would be a great idea. If you can find wood anywhere, be a great idea. You might not keep as warm as you want to, at least you won't freeze. And Melly, more than once over the years, we had a wood stove and a wooden coal stove in the front room. If the power went out, Marcia would cook supper on top of that stove and actually bake biscuit and put a pan at the bottom of the stove with the ice pan while she baked biscuits. These are all for things we've done before to learn how to survive. And folks, you can do it, but you can't do it and maintain what you call a lifestyle right now. If this all happens, you won't be able to maintain your lifestyle. You better be thinking about how you can do some other ways to heat the house, feed your family, provide for financial needs, because this could really disrupt a lot of things in your home. Any comments to add to that, Melody?
No. I mean, you again, as I always say, you've said it all. And, you know, it is about, hopefully, you know, I know October is supposed to be unusually warm for this time of year. We have very little rain. It's been warmer than usual. So hopefully we'd have that throughout the winter, but not the whole country is going to be that. There are going to be some areas of the country who experience probably worse winters than they had last year. So, you know, and I think people in those areas seem to be a little more prepared than a lot of other areas. So just take inventory of what you have and do what you need to be done. And I just mentioned not too long ago, canned goods. They're looking for a shortage come the holidays. And so what are you going to do? Get prepared.
That's very true. And folks, this year I do a little bit of hunting, and I do put some venison in the freezer. This year, Marsh is going to can most of the meat, so if the power does go off, we'll have meat to store for years we could use. These are just things that we prepare on the side. I'm just telling you our personal way of preparing here. We won't be caught off guard. We'll have something to survive on for a long time. And everybody's blaming Biden for this economy and the spending, and definitely he's certainly done his share of it. But friends,
he's accelerating,
please remember that. He is accelerating it. But so did Trump.
Absolutely.
Trump was the third. He took us in $7.8 trillion further in debt while he's in office. That's $23,500 for every person in the country, children included. So don't just think it's all Biden. I don't like Biden. I don't. I think he's what the worst thing ever could have happened to the country. But nonetheless, we can't blame it all on him. Obama did it. Bush did it. It's accelerating. It's melting his head. It's not going away. It's speeding up. And gas prices in Europe, folks, right now are equivalent to oil being $230 a barrel. That's what the equivalent in Europe is for gas prices. They're surging in Europe right now to record highs just yesterday. So this is happening not only here, but all over the world. And believe me, you saw gas prices in this country today, by almost $76, $77? Folks, it's heading for at least $9 a barrel. You're going to be paying minimum of $3.50 to $4 a gallon for regular gasoline. Europe's suffering right now. Can you imagine if our oil prices were $2 and $3 a barrel, Melody, our gas price would be, $5 or $6 a gallon at least?
At least.
So, folks, this is happening. I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I would just say, we talked about this for years. It isn't happening. We're going to go off the radio and go fishing. We're telling you the truth. You better prepare yourself. Even put back some storable gasoline. Put some gas in a plastic barrel and keep it back for emergencies. I've done that with gasoline and diesel fuel. You never know when you might need it. But this is really happening right now as we speak in Europe. Equivalent of $230 a barrel. Wow. I couldn't do a lot of traveling with that kind of price. I don't think too many people could. That's about break time, Mel. Do you want anything to that story before we go to break?
No, not really. I just wanted to, recap that as we see the growing shortages and inflation increase, canned goods are going to be disappearing for the holidays. So stock up. We'll be right back.
Amen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
You heard that?
I heard that.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Did they hear it too, Butch?
I believe so. And folks, we're keeping Melody up. I'm afraid to go.
It's okay to yawn.
Well, I didn't know we did on national radio, but it's okay. If you go ahead, that's your program. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Oops. Anyway, that was something else. That was Ruby in the background.
Oh, you know what that was? Okay.
That was
Ruby,
I hear you.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, you know, it's always, and I just want to say, it just tickles me. It's so, you know, it's so humbling, and it tickles me at the same time, is when we get customers and they say, you know, we've been listening for years and years and years, but I never purchased anything. And that just tickles me. Not that you're buying something, but it's just nice to know that there really are people who listen to this program, Butch.
You can't know? Imagine that, can you?
No. Yeah. And so it's – so thank you. And I think those who just recently purchased know that I'm – who I'm referencing. But, yeah, so it tickles me. It truly does tickle me. So.
It's humbling also.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
It really is, more so than I think anybody could ever imagine. You know, well, if you're a narcissist, you know, unless you're a narcissist, like, you know, some of them out there, yeah, they wouldn't get it. But since I'm not, it is very humbling, very much so.
Well, again, you know, I get people contacts from all over the world, and I'm thinking I'm sitting down here in the woods in a little home in the country in West Virginia. And people listen to us all over the world and contact us.
They do.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And it's so humbling. And I can't imagine they speak hillbilly, but they do. So they're listening. It's just a humbling thing. And we do appreciate it, folks. I know we don't say it often enough, but we do appreciate y'all being out there. Now, we'll move on to something else here. And this is nothing new, just more of it. North Texas seeing massive shortages in education. No teachers, no subs, no cafeteria workers. Folks, this is just spreading everywhere. For whatever reason, this is spreading. You can say it's because of the vaccine mandate, and part of it is, but there's more to it than that. Some schools are combining classrooms with double the number of students, and they complained to us last year they had too many students per teacher. Now, they're doubling them. I remember when I was in school, we had the first, second, and third grade in one room, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade in one room, and seventh, eighth grade in another room. So they combined classes back then. Students are seeing more of the teachers and coaches driving buses, and office staff workers and administrators are pulling double duty, subbing in classes. The teacher shortage is partially due to the pandemic, but it's much more. And it's a much bigger problem. It's a shortage of employees in education across the board. It's not just a Texas thing. It's a nationwide problem, says Mary Randall, who's the Assistant Superintendent of Personal Services at Mesquite ISD. We have a shortage of care professionals, employees, and teaching assistants, clerical people. There's a shortage of cafeteria workers, custodians, and you name it. Randall says MISD is addressing the problem in many ways. The district is working with long-term subs trying to certify them as teachers quickly, is offering bonuses to several potential hirees, is developing a program to promote from within, and the district is constantly confirming its pay is comparable to other districts. Now, I'm going to say one thing that may add something to this because it all, I think, ties together. Since this pandemic fiasco hit, homeschooling is up 300% in the last 2 years. which means the school districts are getting less money. And I say, God bless the homeschoolers. I homeschool my children and put them in Christian school because I didn't want them in the public school system. I say, God bless these people for doing that. But says this spike does not include Americans engaged in virtual learning through a public or private school program due to COVID protocols. These are full-time homeschoolers. The United States Census Bureau has been tasked with collecting data through nationwide surveys for over 80 years. The data are intended for use by other government agencies and elected officials for policy decisions. This is the first time the Census Bureau has sought to identify the total number of homeschools in America. Previous surveys only marked children who were unenrolled from private schools. That rate usually hovered around 3.3 to 5.4% in 2019. Homeschool families have been traditionally seen as a small minority have been largely ignored by elected representatives. In 2020, due to the COVID school closures, census questions were modified to specify identity, identify the number of homeschoolers, and the results were shocking for many. In October 2020, 11.1% of the 22 to 23 million U.S. households reported being full-time homeschoolers. Alaska is reported as being 27.5, Oklahoma at 20.1, Florida 18.1, Vermont 16.9, Georgia 16, and Tennessee and Arizona 13.0 at homeschool, 13%. So we're seeing a huge demand on homeschooling. And folks, this does cut the public funds to the schools. That's where your tax dollars are supposed to go. And I wish to goodness I didn't have to fund these public schools because I don't like property tax anyway. But when people start to homeschool, they cut back on the fund of public schools. So it means that financially actually hurt the schools. And I say more power to them. Let the schools reorganize. I mean, now we have the FBI, Melody, is going to start investigating people who go to school board meetings and get upset with people. They're going to start investigating those who are taking a stand against what these school boards are doing. These school boards forgot they work for the people. They forgot all about that. So the FBI is going to start investigating what they call domestic terrorism. Terrorists, those who go to school board meetings and speak up. Now, what do you think about that?
You know, I mean, this isn't, you know, and they're going to be so busy investigating everybody. I think there's so many threats out there, but it only takes one or two to follow through and whatnot. It's, you know, it's just, you know, they don't want to lose control, you know, so these are threats and it's, you know, it's today's world. And it's kudos for teaching your children at
Amen.
Home.
Amen.
You know?
I totally agree.
And, oh, yeah.
And this is something that maybe I can see the point why people may think this. It's a very dangerous scenario. One in three Americans say they're open to abolishing or limiting the Supreme Court. And I'm going to comment on this in a second, but before I do that, a surprisingly significant portion of Americans would like to see the Supreme Court become the subordinate court, according to new research. A recent poll conducted by the Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania finds over a third of Americans might be willing to abolish the Supreme Court altogether, or at least permit Congress to limit its power if it were to issue rulings either they or Congress to disagree with it. And I agree with that. The Supreme Court, the three branches of government, that is one of them, was to be the weakest link in the chain, so to speak, as far as law goes. Supreme Court cannot make law, although they have been doing that from the bench for the last several years. It's totally unconstitutional, so I see these people's ideas. Put it back under Congress where it belongs. They cannot make laws. I see that. But to abolish it would take a link out of the chain that was supposed to be set up for us to protect ourselves from unlawful reasons that the states may get involved in. And the Supreme Court is needed, but the people are right in the fact that the Supreme Court has overstepped its bounds many times, has it not?
Well, it has, and you're right. They're beginning to make laws and so forth, but it is something that's needed. And the thing of it is, this all changes because you got a group of people who got their nose out of shape just because, you know, they didn't get their way. A bunch of groupy, pouty people who want to change things just so they can, you know, instead of complying to the rule of law and so forth, they'd rather change it. And it's just, you know. And most people don't understand.
No, they don't.
Most people don't have a clue.
No. If you ask most young people today what the three branches of government were or are, I would say 95% of them would have no idea. You ask them whether this is a republic or a democracy, they always say democracy. Pledge of Allegiance say? Democracy, republic. We were a republic. Last president I heard use that word was before I was born, back during the Korean War. The president, my mind's going blank who it was, I'm sorry, but he used the word republic. And that's the last time I heard mentioned by a president. No, we've been, an ignorant people, Jefferson said, the ignorant people cannot be free. We don't know what we have because we forgot about it. We no longer understand it. So folks, this problem is hugely our blame because we forgot what we had and what we should have right now. And everybody said, well, Trump put in some really good judges and Biden's undermined it. Folks, I beg to differ with you. Maybe Trump put in some good judges on the federal judge level, but in Supreme Court, it ain't worked out that way at all. U.S. Supreme Court, supported by both parties, declines to hear a case against vaccine mandates. Now, this just happened, October 1st. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor denied a challenge by four teachers and teaching assistants in New York City who sought to halt enforcement of the vaccine mandate, folks, by Mayor Bill de Blasio. All 148,000 staff in New York City School District were ordered to be vaccinated against COVID-19 by October 1st or face being placed on unpaid leave. While Sotomayor is a Democrat, she is not alone in this decision. Conservative Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, remember her, Coney Barrett, similarly denied a petition by Indiana University students to block that school COVID-19 vaccine mandate in August. Former President Trump funded Operation Warp Speed to bring the COVID-19 shots to market faster than any other vaccines in history. Journalist Brian Shilhavy wrote that the conservative right supported the 1986 National Child Vaccine Injury Act, which gave pharmaceutical companies legal immunity in the courts from being sued but due to injuries and deaths caused by their vaccines. And Republican President Ronald Reagan signed that bill into law. All the conservatives on the bench side with Big Pharma, including Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito. Folks, if you think the Republicans are going to save you or the Democrats are going to save you, boy, are you barking up the wrong tree. Both are doing the same thing, taking us down the same road. Maybe they talk a little different. Maybe they say things differently. But they're taking us down the same road to total oblivion and what we call a new world order. Melody, that's about as clear as I can put that.
You put it pretty clear.
I mean, how long are we going to play this game? George Washington, in his farewell address, warned about a two-party system to destroy you. And it has. It has. And this is something we need to think about, too. The state with the highest vax rate records a surge in COVID cases. This is Vermont. The number of cases in Vermont is at a record level. Hospitalizations are close to the records notched last winter. And the state recorded the deadliest day and second deadliest month of the pandemic in September. I think it's clearly frustrating for all of us, Michael Pinchik, the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, who monitors CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus statistics for the state. More than 69% of Vermont's population have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as of September 24th. According to CDC, it's far above the average, which is 50% worldwide, but their cases are going up at record-breaking speeds. Hey, think about that, folks. They're the most vaxxed and now percentage-wise the most cases. Shouldn't that tell us something? Our own governor here in West Virginia just said months ago that 25% of the deaths in this country, this state, were from fully vaccinated people, but he still pushed the vaccine. Go figure. And Attorney Thomas Rentz, by the way, who is out of Hawaii, and he's doing a great job representing Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and other people, are about to lose their license because of standing about this COVID hoax and COVID nonsense. The Medicare tracking system has revealed, and this is from Medicare, folks, not some right-wing radical group. Medicare tracking system revealed that 19,400 people less than 80 years old have died within 14 days of receiving the COVID vaccine, and 28,065 people have died that are over 80 within 14 days of receiving the COVID vaccine. Wouldn't you think that would make them stop and pause and think about this? These people below 80 and above 80 are dying with the vaccine. This comes from Medicare tracking system. Medicine, somebody ask a question as to why?
Does anybody really want to know why?
That's probably a good point. That's a good point. I don't know what they add to that. I mean, these are their own statistics. I didn't make them up. It just is what it is. And Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews made a very good point here, and I don't have time to read it. Says research has shown that 80% of the patients who have died from coronavirus or required ICU care were vitamin D sufficient. He says vitamin D will help you prevent you from dying from COVID, and I totally agree with that. I really do. I think it's a great idea and a great move. Vitamin D3 is vitally important, especially in winter time because the sun's not out there if you get to get in the sun much. Vitamin D3 I take every day, along with vitamin C and other things I take, trying to keep my immune system built up. So these are professionals, folks, trying to tell us something that we need to pay attention to. But when the Medicare itself saying that people of these ages are dying by the thousands, maybe we should stop and think that maybe we've been duped, that following something that's only for control and compliance. Well, that's about it. I'm out of time, and that's about it.
Yeah, it looks like we are out of time, and we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.